It's showtime, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Happy Tuesday, everyone! Good evening, and welcome in to the truly Hard Seltzer Studios, a fan-run radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, FM 105.7, AM 1340, fan-run radio app, streaming on fanrunradio.com as well. It's another edition of Overtime, clocking in here. Tanner Carson, Stetson Marlin, and Justin Feist are with you on this frigid, no, frigid's probably too extreme, chilly East Tennessee evening that we got going on here. Guys, how we feeling?
Feeling pretty good. I drove down here eastbound, obviously, but anybody going westbound probably caught the gorgeous sunset over the western sky. Hopefully some of you got to enjoy that on your way home from work, and we're feeling good.
Stetson? Gonna turn it over to you a little bit, man. It's unfortunately the end of an era.
Yeah,
the end of an era here. Short one, but a fun one nonetheless. You will be graduating from the University of Tennessee pretty soon. What's the exact date for
next Friday, which is the 13th? I believe at 9 o'clock.
You're graduating on Friday the 13th?
I think so.
I don't know what type of omen that is.
I don't either.
Probably fantastic.
I'm sure there's nothing to worry about there. But, yeah, you're graduating, which means that your little internship practicum that you did for your credit at UT, it's coming to an end tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight's going to be the last one because you won't be able to join us Thursday because you will be out in Cookeville doing some good Big J journalism work for all the Blue Cross Bowl state championships at the TSSAA level.
Can't wait for that. Those games should be fun. Hoping the weather's good. Hoping there's no. I haven't checked the forecast yet, but I don't believe there's a forecast of rain. So, believe we'll see some good football on Thursday, Friday, and hopefully Saturday. Can't wait for some of those games.
Oh yeah, you'll definitely have fun out there. A lot of East Tennessee schools competing out there. You got Maryville, of course, per usual. Knoxville Central trying to do back-to-back 5A state championships. Alcoa. You know, just another usual suspect along with Maryville as well. That's all at the immediate Knoxville schools, right?
Is Greenback in there again?
Oh, yeah, Greenback, too. Yeah, from 1A. That's right. Yeah, of course, because, yeah, they're not far from here as well. And, I mean, if you want to be rooting for East Tennessee, period, if you're around the Tri-Cities, you got Elizabethton 4A, and if you're down south towards Chattanooga, shout Malcolm Harris, you got the Macaulay School in D2. 3A, so a lot of good East Tennessee flavor out in that one. You should have plenty of fantastic matchups to cover.
Absolutely.
So you will have fun out there. I hate that tonight is the end of it, though.
Yeah, I'm going to miss it. I had a great time here. I got to learn from a bunch of great folks. I remember starting out in Knoxville, following guys like John Reed and Houston and all them, and now just to work with them and work with you and Justin and Malcolm. It's a great time. And Matt the few days I was here with him, but it's been a great time so far, and I definitely enjoyed it. And like we talked about in the hallway, I'll continue to write for y'all whenever you need me. So
yeah, you're not done. You can't get away from us that easily.
I can't.
But yeah, man, we're gonna make this one a good one as well here with you until 8 o'clock tonight, this evening. Monday Night Football last night. That was a good one, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and start with that one hit there. I think, what, Justin, me and you were both on the Seahawks, correct? Or did you pick Vikings?
I believe I said Seahawks.
Okay. Yep. Did Matt go Vikings then?
I think we all said Seahawks.
Okay. I felt like one of us was a little more higher on the Vikings. But I don't know. But, yeah, the home team did hold serve. Seahawks get a big, big win. When it comes to playoff seeding, NFC West positioning, all that good stuff. It's a fantastic one, man. 37-30 right there. Russell Wilson has another solid game. He's trying to keep up his running for this season's MVP. Any thoughts on that one? Did you all get to watch a whole lot of the game? I didn't get to watch as much as I wanted to, but I was able to keep up with it. I'm glad that one didn't disappoint last night. Yeah. I thought Seattle might have been able to run away with that one, but Minnesota stayed in that one. Seattle, though, coming up big when it matters the most.
Yeah, Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins actually had kind of similar stat lines. Both just had two TDs and a pick, similar yardage totals, but Adam Thielen wasn't able to make it back for the Vikings, and that kind of showed because Stephon Diggs was wide receiver one, just getting locked down by the Seahawks secondary. Yeah. And it showed because he only had one He didn't have a great night. Russell Wilson.
He had four catches, 25 yards. Stephon Diggs did.
Yeah. He had a few drops, too, because he had a big drop on the interception. It was a kind of lucky interception, but he did have a drop there.
MVP-ish night, I guess, is the narrative that's still going forward for Russell Wilson. So
I'll say it's hard to pick against Russell Wilson in primetime games. No matter what, if it's Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, whatever you want to call it, he wins those games.
Speaking of primetime, almost the complete opposite can be said of Kirk Cousins. What is he dropped to 0-8? Is it 0-8 in Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I wonder what his overall record is in primetime games, period. 0-8 in Monday Night Football. Oh, my gosh. That's rough. I don't know how much of those eight can be solely placed on his shoulders. Yeah, but that's not good, though.
And now everyone that they got wins against early in the season and everyone thought, you know, Kirk was earning his money, those teams are ending up being complete crap. None of them are over 500 right now.
Like my Raiders. Exactly like my Raiders.
Raiders, the Eagles.
I'm ready for this Raiders-Titans game. It's big for the Titans and for the Raiders.
Man, you ain't going to get a lot of trash talk out of me this week. I know what's coming. That's like the wrong team for us to be facing right now.
Ryan Tannehill.
The only type of advantage we have is the fact that, you know, the Titans are having to come out to the West Coast.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be it. But it's the opposite of a West Coast team going out to the East Coast. Like we saw 2 weeks ago when Oakland went out to play the Jets. It's a little different. Your West Coast players, their bodies are set on, you know, they're on the earlier time. So if you're playing like a 1 o'clock Eastern kickoff, your body's still on 10 o'clock right there. It's a little bit different if it's a team from a, you know, East Coast or even Central time, the Titans going out to the West a little bit. I'm not looking forward to that one. I don't. Ryan Tannehill's playing too good. Derrick Henry, of course, is playing out of his mind as well. I'm more concerned about Ryan Tannehill shredding us than I am about containing Derrick Henry, honestly. But both concern me. So you're not getting a lot of trash talk out of me, Stetson. I don't think we're going to win that one.
It's a big game for the Titans considering their schedule these last four games. I mean, you got the Raiders. You got the Texans twice in 3 weeks, which is interesting.
I'll repeat to you what I asked Matt last night since, you know, we're getting, you know, back-to-back nights of interns being Titans fans here. I asked Matt about what he thought about the, you know, the Texans coming off a big win over the Patriots. Titans have still yet to play the Texans once this season. Even though that the Titans are on upswing a little bit, they seem to be finding the offensive rhythm, especially, you know, not only from Derrick Henry, but from Ryan Tannehill, who has statistically become one of the top quarterbacks in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about having to face the Texans and this stretch coming up soon for the Titans?
I'm not going to count them out just because it's divisional games, and Titans always kind of play the Texans tough. So for some reason, I feel like we kind of have Deshaun Watson's number. Well, we did the last time whenever we played in Nashville, but it'll be interesting. And I saw a stat that if the Texans stay at the 3 spot and the Titans slot into the 6 spot in the wild card, they would face each other again. So that'd be 3 times in 4 weeks.
Man.
Which,
that's a tough little stint.
It's interesting. And I hate the scheduling as it comes down to it. I mean, facing the same team twice in 3 weeks is not very good scheduling, but if that ends up playing out and the Titans play him 3 times in 4 weeks, that's just – I hate that. Kind of reminds me of the Memphis-Cincy game. They played this last weekend and then played this weekend for the AAC championship. So it's kind of – you already know what you're going to get.
I mean, like, how about the same thing with Oklahoma Baylor, too, if you want to draw another college football comparison there. But, yeah, had a good weekend, the NFL. I mean, of course, we had, like, a big recap of it yesterday, but, you know, Stetson, I'll get the floor to you once again since I'm going to give you the honor since it is your last show tonight. Biggest thing that caught your eye over this NFL weekend, outside of your own Titans?
I didn't get a chance to watch much of the Ravens 49ers game, but
it was good.
Justin Tucker comes in clutch.
You missed out.
Again.
It was a really good
one. He comes in clutch again.
My fantasy kicker, by the way.
It's a good pick. The Bills again. They keep on surprising me. I'm not doubting them, but they just, I mean, beat the Cowboys on primetime television on Thursday. Cowboys are interesting. That division is up for grabs, and the Eagles are absolutely trash, but still have a chance. I don't know how.
Every team in the NFC East is just slowly, like, they're not even limping. It's like all their limbs have been blown off, and they're just crawling towards the finish line to see who will get that division.
I think it's funny seeing the standings, seeing all these like 9-3, 10-2 kind of teams, and then you see that division where it's the Cowboys at 6-6, the leaders of the division, and then the Eagles at 5-7 and 2-9. Is it 2-9 or 3-8 or whatever? Maybe for the Redskins, it's crazy, but Did y'all see the ending to the Chargers Broncos game?
I did.
It was crazy.
Casey Hayward costing his team dearly right there.
It's kind of a weak call, I kind of think, but I might. I don't know.
You kind of can't put yourself in that position because the only reason that Denver is electing to have just go routes and throw it that deep is to try to get a PI call with that much time left, and that's exactly what happened. And of course, Brandon McManus is absolutely, you know, ice in his veins as you get out of an NFL kicker. So, you know, my Raiders completely fall flat on their face in Arrowhead. It's nice to see another AFC West team suffer. So, I always love laughing at the Chargers a little bit. They always find ways to lose games like that.
I thought it was crazy, the Bucks and Jags, Nick Foles getting benched. What they paid him $88 million.
All that money he's
in the offseason, and they're benching him.
He's taking the bag and he's making the getaway. And it's Minshew Mania Part 2.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird what's going on down there. Jacksonville's just that's a lost franchise if there ever was one.
Yeah. I don't know what to think of them right now.
They gonna make a coaching move with Marone? If it just keeps getting bad.
I feel like it's the kind of thing where Doug Marone's there, Minshew's kind of the guy now, so you got to give them a chance together, maybe, is what the thinking will be. I'm not really sure. I don't have a pulse on the fan base down there, but.
Is it like Derek Mason and Vandy, maybe? I'm joking. I don't know. I mean, they've had some good talent, but losing guys like Jalen Ramsey hurts. I feel like Fournette's always inconsistent, so it's kind of hard to know what you're going to get out of Jacksonville.
It's a bit of a whirlwind when you look at some of the rest of these teams here. You had a big coaching move made earlier today by the Panthers as well. We'll touch on that later on in the program. But when we come back here, we're going to hit this first break. Open up the phone lines as well. Next Door Home Group hotlines, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. We'll go to college football coaching because there's a whole lot to get to that we really didn't even get to really scratch the surface on yesterday. And we'll go ahead and make a stop up in Jersey, up in New Jersey. Now, today's the 10-year anniversary of Jersey Shore debuting, by the way. So it's only
Jim appropriate. Jim Tan Laundry.
It's only appropriate that we'll go to New Jersey. We'll go to Piscataway because Rutgers made a hire official today. And we'll go ahead and touch on that when we come back. Talk about the Shiana Man. Sing us a song. You're the Shiana Man. Sing us a song tonight. Y'all know the rest of the words?
I don't.
I was just going to keep talking. You were never charged with a felony, but you could have been a bit more contrite. There you go. You could have. You really could have. We'll talk on that coming up next. You're listening to Overtime. Keep it here on Fan Run Radio. Yeah! Back on overtime here, 865-546-8200. It's officially official. He's back in town. And by town, I mean all the way up north in Piscataway, New Jersey. Pretty much about the, excuse me, about the only place that would take him at this point in time. Rutgers has officially made it official. They have brought back one Gregory Schiano to be their head coach.
Oh, brother.
8-year deal.
This guy stinks.
Yeah. $32 million. So, this is something that it was kind of like you had a slight fan revolt up in Rutgers. Were y'all paying attention to that? That was kind of the opposite because negotiations at first between Schiano and the Rutgers AD, they kind of fell through. They thought Schiano was wanting too much. He was wanting the private plane to help with recruiting. And they said, no, asking for a little bit too many extra things here. Didn't get done at first. Then there was like kind of a fan revolt to get Schiano to be hired. It's kind of the complete opposite of 2 years ago here. It just shows you Rutgers versus Tennessee, I guess.
It's kind of wacky.
But I guess Rutgers brass ended up listening. They went back to the negotiation table again. And Greg Schiano, for the first time since the start of the decade, he is back where he made his original name for himself before, you know, he had the outbreak of, what was it, MRSA in Tampa Bay. You're dealing with Josh Freeman's medical records and having defensive linemen dive at kneeling quarterback's knees like Eli Manning. You know, before all that, before he was making a name for himself like that, he made his name going 500 at Rutgers. And now he is back. He is back for his second stint up in Piscataway. Athletic director of Rutgers, Pat Hobbs, said in a news release today, "We open the next great chapter for Rutgers football. Coach Schiano is absolutely the best person to lead our program. He brings a quality of leadership and integrity that will make all of us proud in the years ahead. I couldn't be more excited for our student athletes and our fans. A lot of hard work lies ahead, but we will all keep chopping together." I think that's like one of their slogans, right? Like chop, keep chopping, something like that. "We'll keep chopping together with Coach to achieve success in the Big Ten. We all know what the goal is, and we all must do our part. I can't express enough appreciation to Greg and Christy Schiano, the first family of Rutgers football. Welcome back."
The hometown hero returns. It's kind of a tough spot as Rutgers to have a guy with such an amazing career as Gregory Schiano. Great character, and that's the guy that, you know, started it all for you guys. That's the glory days. So they had to go back. I don't necessarily blame them, but at the same time, I'm glad that, you know, we were able to avoid getting him as our head coach. I don't know. I guess good for him. It's kind of funny. He already, in I think one of his first statements, he said, "We need the whole state of Rutgers to band together and get behind
the
us."
The state of Rutgers.
Yeah.
God.
It's a statewide movement, and, you know, bully to them. Maybe we'll see him in a bowl game.
We better be hoping we don't see them in a bowl game in the near future, because I doubt Shiano's getting them back to a bowl game in the first couple of seasons. So if we're 3-4 years down the road meeting Rutgers in a bowl game, that's more on us,
yeah,
not achieving goals than, say, Rutgers. I mean, Come on, it's Rutgers. This really is the best they could do. I mean, you got to look at how excited their fan base is over it. A complete 180 from Schiano Sunday for us.
Yeah. Top donors were saying that they were never going to give to Rutgers again because Schiano didn't get the job. And, yeah, complete 180 from what went down in Knoxville a couple years ago.
I personally think we're in the right here. I mean, I'm glad that we don't have him here. Glad we have Pruitt right now. I mean, as we saw, just a total 360 of what we had, or 180 of what we had earlier in the year, and now I mean, we're sitting pretty not for a nice bowl game.
And,
I'll take it.
And I'm not anti Greg Schiano, a person so bad that I've always been just rooting for him to fail wherever he goes, just because I hate Schiano that much as a person. No, that's not my stance on it. I've, you know what, as far as my stance is concerned, as far as the Tennessee fan base is concerned, that was out as hell on Tennessee and John Curry hiring Greg Schiano 2 years ago. As far as we are all concerned, I mean, barring Rutgers becoming one of the powerhouses in the Big Ten, barring that happening, we've already won. And it doesn't matter what Pruitt does. I tell you why we've already won, because here's the thing. In the 2 years since Schiano Sunday, all his his job, all the job openings for head coaches, all these, what would be Power Five head coach job openings that would kind of be on the same type of level as Tennessee historically. Was Greg Schiano ever a candidate for any of those jobs? I don't think so. Was he a real big candidate for any solid group of five head coaching openings? No, not that I can remember.
Well, in fact, he was demoted, right?
And he was kind of demoted actually within Ohio State staff before Urban Meyer's last season, actually. And then the media who were anti Tennessee, anti these rednecks who revolted 2 years ago when he got hired by the Patriots and his good buddy Bill Belichick to be defensive coordinator. That was see. It might not be a head coaching job, but he's going to be a DC for Bill Belichick. Well, that didn't last.
Quit, right?
He quit. He quit before OTAs, anything like that. Probably because he knew that this job was going to come back open at Rutgers. So with all the openings out, all we've been told of how amazing of a head coach Greg Schiano is and how lucky Tennessee would have been to have him leading the program 2 years ago. Yeah, all the job openings, wasn't really considered for a lot of them. You know where he ends up finally getting a head coaching job? Back at Rutgers. By far the worst program in Power Five. That's all I'm going to say. That's all. We've already came out on the better side of this.
I think the real victim here is Nunzio Campanelli, because I'm sure that he'll have to go find a job somewhere else. He's been great in the interim, though. I think he got him a win, so.
One win. Good for him.
Maybe he'll be retained. I don't know. But I'm guessing Schiano will probably get in, turn the place upside down, and bring in all his boys.
Have you seen what is coming along with all the agreements for him to return? So, Rutgers had to give a little bit here for Schiano to come back, not only when it came came to his contract and the monetary value. So, Rutgers will be constructing a new football facility, including an indoor practice field, which will put Rutgers on par with larger Big Ten programs. The increased focus on the program will not only allow Schiano to recruit at the highest level, but it will help it help the team prepare when weather doesn't cooperate. He will also be receiving his private jet if private funding is available on a first-class commercial airline tickets to meet with recruits around the country. The school will cover annual country club membership and initial initiation. Talking about just him from a personal standpoint, he's going to receive a private suite for 20 guests at home games, as well as 20 more premium level tickets. And yeah, he's getting some sweet little bonuses in that contract as well.
I'm so ready. I would be so ready to sit up in a suite for a Rutgers game. How fun does that sound?
Yeah, man, at the great, whatever the hell that stadium is now.
I guess it would be better to sit in a suite where there's either heat or air conditioning when it's cold outside. That's probably better. That's a good deal, I guess you could say. Doesn't it get cold there?
Oh, yeah. It's all the time. It's up there in the Northeast. So, yeah, it definitely does once later in the football season rolls around. What's going to happen in this little retread they're doing of Schiano here, guys? Is he going to prove all us rednecks wrong? Is he going to build another feared program up there that's going to upset some people, going to be in a national conversation this time in a Power 5 conference as opposed to the Big East? You know, what's going to happen up there? Or is it just going to be completely mediocre football, which is good enough for Rutgers fans? Because honestly, it is. He can just win six games up there every year, and they'll still build a statue of him.
Yeah, I'll say probably six wins max next year. What are they this year?
Oh, they're 2-10.
2-10, I think.
Yeah, so, I mean, he'll probably add 2-3 wins, but I don't think he'll get around 7-8 for a long time yet because he never got there in the first place. So
68-67. I'm looking at their schedule next year. Ooh, man. The first conference game, they have to go to Ohio State.
That's wonderful.
That's going to be a nice little welcome back for him.
Get to see Justin Fields again.
I'm looking at their non-conference games. They got Monmouth to open the season, home against Syracuse at Temple, and I believe that is it for their non-conference slate. So there you go. That's what he's got next year. Now, with him officially being back, and with still some uncertainty on Jarrett Garantano, do you think JG's old buddy Greg gives him a text, or gives his daddy a text?
I could see some sort of outreach to the Garantano camp, but given the positive note that Tennessee ended on, I don't know. JG, gun to my head, I'd say he stays here with the chance to go home.
It's going to be a competition next year. You got quarterbacks.
Yep.
Quarterbacks coming in, too, so it'll be interesting.
I think there'll be some interest there now. You know, certainly that's home for him, but at the same time, you know, I'm sure he's going to hit up the JUCO market and this grad transfer market a whole lot, that Shiano will, to try to build something of a competitive roster up there, because Lord knows they don't have anything close to that right now. So, you know, maybe that will be something of a selling point to try to get JG up there, to try to get a quarterback who can take the reins with some experience, because I don't know what their quarterback room looks like right now. I don't know a single player on their roster. So we shall see, because, you know, he's never said one way or the other, you know, his intentions, talking about JG coming back for one more season. That will be something to follow over the offseason for sure. But Shiano's back up there, and we'll just wait and see. We'll just wait and see. 2 years removed from when he would have been here, we would have been just ending regular season number 2 of Greg Shiano here if that would have went through. Oh, God.
What if it wouldn't even been 2 seasons? I'm just
getting really tired. Yeah. I don't know. Weren't we trying to give him like a pretty decent contract?
I don't remember, honestly.
I think we were. I don't know. Just again, we dodged all of that. We dodged all of that. Leave that where it is. Go on our separate paths. Go on our separate ways, like Journey once said. And that's the end of this segment here. We're gonna come back with some more overtime after this quick break here. When we come back, we're going to stick with college football. So there's a job already filled up at Rutgers. We're going to go back to the coaching carousel a little bit, dive in a little bit more on some potential candidates at some of these job openings, especially when it comes to your SEC openings. 865-546-8200 is your number to call in on the show. Justin will greet you as you call in. We're going to be back after this break here on Fan Run Radio. Back on the show here, so many openings to talk about in college football, and so many that just are intriguing from the standpoint of who would take these jobs and be like the right fit, because there's never going to be a shortage of coaches that you can hire to fill vacancies, obviously, whether it be a current head coach somewhere. Someone who just used to be a head coach, who's a coordinator somewhere, and an up-and-coming assistant, et cetera, here. But, you know, we ran through them real quickly yesterday. Didn't get a lot of time to really dive into them. I want to go ahead and just keep in the SEC for right now. So you got your three openings right now, which I was reminded on the drive over here. The drive was talking to Nick Bromberg, and they were interviewing him as they do pretty regularly. And he reminded everyone that last offseason, there was no head coaching vacancy in the SEC. Every single head coach was retained.
I remember that.
Every single one was retained after last season. And now you have three that are currently open right now. Ole Miss, Mizzou, Arkansas. Who's the right fit for any of these three? And before we get to that, I'll ask the question that a lot of people have been asking as well. Which one of those is the most intriguing to you? I don't think anyone's going to say Arkansas. So let's just say between Ole Miss and Mizzou, if you're a head coach or if you're a coordinator somewhere who's a hot up-and-coming coordinator and it's your agent calling you, or it's either the AD of Ole Miss, the new one they have down there, or Mizzou's AD, his name escapes me. One of those guys calls you. If you're a head coaching candidate, who are you more comfortable with? What do you think would be the better career destination?
Like I said during break, I've been wavering back and forth. I don't know. I mean, I kind of want to say Missouri just because it's in the SEC East. Florida and Georgia are good. Hopefully Tennessee will be good in a few years. But also the SEC West is just deadly. Maybe I'm just thinking about it right now, but I wouldn't want to be another team in the SEC West, just considering you have to go up against Arkansas. You have to go up against Auburn, Alabama, LSU, teams like Texas A&M every single year. That's just a murderer's row. And then in the East, I mean, you do have Florida and Georgia and hopefully Tennessee, but then you also go against Kentucky and Vanderbilt and South Carolina, who are, well, Kentucky maybe, but South Carolina and Vandy aren't so hot right now. So I don't know. I'm stuck. I don't really know.
Yeah. In college football, you got to have quick success. And I guess just from a quicker success standpoint, I would say Mizzou, just because you have a higher ceiling there first couple years, I would think.
Yeah.
Just because the competition, you're not getting hammered every Saturday by somebody in the West. But personally, I think I'd rather go to Ole Miss for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's because Mizzou is still relatively new in the SEC, although they won the East twice.
Their second and third season, they won back-to-back.
Yeah, so the success is sort of there at Mizzou, and you can win faster, but
like you said, I would
I feel like if I'd I was rather a, be at Ole Miss.
Yeah, though. If I was a recruit, I would rather go to Ole Miss. But
one of those weird things.
I don't think either job is necessarily easy. Yeah, from a have a better chance at success quickly standpoint, you would want to stay in the East, especially when after your top two programs, it's anybody's ball game. You had a bunch of programs completely floundered throughout the season, as we saw right here this season. But also in the West, I feel like wouldn't it kind of also be a better spot at Ole Miss in terms of recruiting-wise? I think fan support.
Either way, you're going to have a difficult time recruiting. It's so hard to recruit in the SEC. It's hard to get.
Yeah, I would not want to be trying to sell Mizzou to recruits. That would be difficult.
Yeah.
We have a rock formation that's an M.
Yeah, once you graduate, you can get a rock.
You get to take a rock
home.
It's
just so cold. It's in the Midwest. I'm pretty sure there's nothing out there.
Hey, if you go to Ole Miss, you can just party all the time.
That's a benefit, yes.
Hey, they've never lost a tailgate. That's what they say. They've never lost one of those. I feel at the same time though about Ole Miss. How much support would you have from administration though? Because you had you got Keith Carter, who is the brand new permanent AD at Ole Miss, by the way. He was the interim for a few months now. He takes the interim tag off 2 weeks ago, and one of his first statements is that, yeah, Matt Luke is our guy. We're behind him 100%, and then he's fired. So that doesn't give me a lot of trust.
Did he hire Why am I blanking on their basketball coach?
Kermit?
Yeah, did he hire him or was that the prior AD?
I feel like that might have been Ross Bjork before he left.
Because that was a good hire. That was a really good hire. But I'm just wondering if he has prior experience on any firings and hirings of any coaches. Because I was interested to see Matt Luke getting fired. I thought he did a decent job with what he was left with, kind of just them in the middle of an NCAA violation. And, I mean, like I've said, it's so hard to win in the SEC West. And I felt like there was times that they could have won some games this year, and maybe that does fall on coaching, but it'll be interesting. And I think they have a fairly talented roster. I mean, Plumlee can run the ball like crazy.
And he was just a true freshman.
Yeah, he's just a true freshman. So
how many players are you going to lose, though? Because that team is not happy with Matt Luke being fired. Even after a 4-8 season, that team loved Matt Luke. And, you know, there were the players that are saying that, you know, half the team is threatening to transfer.
I don't know if it's that big. I did read an article on, I guess, just the local Ole Miss newspaper there. But they were talking about how some of the players backed Matt Luke, and then some were just like, we'll see what happens. But, I mean, it's already kind of made a splash recruiting for both Missouri and Ole Miss, because I've seen a few guys decommit, like Jabari Smalls, I think that's his name, who he decommitted from Ole Miss.
That's he's a Tennessee running back.
Yeah.
Yep, top 20 player in the state.
So it'll be interesting to see what it does for recruiting, especially.
We'll lead this segment with this here, sticking on coaches. For any of the three SEC openings here, I'm going to throw out two names, and you tell me the viability of these two names at any of the three programs. Lane Kiffin, Mike Leach. Because Arkansas has already been talking to Lane Kiffin.
I see Lane Kiffin more than Mike Leach. I don't see Mike Leach come into the SEC, personally.
I feel like he might fit in at Mizzou, because it's kind of a state like Washington.
I would.
It can still be cold. He can still walk.
Yeah, it's still cold. He can probably. He can. As far as like the leash goes, for how like crazy and weird you can be, they probably have the longest leash for that.
Probably so. I would. I'll say I wouldn't want both of those in the SEC. I wouldn't want either of those in the SEC East, honestly. Just because those are two fairly good head coaches. I mean, obviously Mike Leach, Lane Kiffin too, but I wouldn't want either of those in the SEC East for sure.
I wouldn't want either one of them at Arkansas, especially for next season, because
yeah.
I feel like Lane Kiffin, even with that roster, I feel like he would want nothing more than to be us just to troll us, because that's who Lane is. Even though Lane would take a job back here in a heartbeat if it ever came open, that's just who Lane is. And for Mike Leach is my guy. He's always been my favorite coach. I don't want to have to root against the Pirate. But I'd have to, I guess. So maybe one of them go to Ole Miss, and we don't have to worry about them for, what, once every 8 years? 10 years, however that little schedule works. Not really sure about that. But Coaching Carousel, just getting started here. I mean, you got still have FSU open. USC may come opening day. You'll have to keep eyes on Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley takes an NFL job. I mean, you got some smaller schools still open as well, if you want to keep paying attention to that as well. So it's just getting started. Just getting started here, and I say there's a lot more to come as well. Before we hit this break here to take you to the final segment of Hour 1, we are brought to you by Campus Cuts by Monica. Schedule an appointment to get that haircut that you probably desperately need if it's been a while since you had one. Check out the brand new location on the Strip, 1819 Cumberland Avenue, right next to Copper Cellar and across from the 10, big student housing, luxury apartments. Come in there, get you an appointment. Monica is going to take care of you. Over 30 years of experience cutting hair right here in Knoxville. She's put together an experienced staff that meets her high standards. Guys or girls, students or fans, Monica takes care of it all. Always a quality cut at an affordable price. Whether it's just a trim, whether you have a big job interview to prepare for, you have some event you're going to that you need to look good for, Whatever it is, Monica will have you looking your best. Call 865-850-7367 for an appointment. 850-7367. Be sure to give her a like on Facebook. And remember, guys, it's more than a haircut.
It's tradition.
It is tradition. Final segment of Hour 1 of Overtime coming up after this. Final segment, hour one of overtime here on this Tuesday. It's brought to you by MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag. Use the promo code Knoxville when you place a deposit and create your account. They will double your first deposit bonus up to $1,000. Terms and conditions apply. MyBookie, get in on all the good sports action going on right now. Good college basketball action to get into tonight. We'll talk about those a little bit later on here because you have a couple of really, really good top 10 matchups going on tonight. December basketball, it's starting to get a little more serious. A little bit of a breaking news to get to here. Talked on the transfer portal yesterday. Of course, with it being the end of the regular season, it now begins kind of a transfer portal season. Transfer portal season is starting here. And yesterday, you had two Tennessee football players put their name in the portal. You had senior offensive lineman Ryan Johnson. He's going to explore his options for a grad transfer year. And you had true freshman wide receiver Gerard Means as well. Not a huge shocker for either of them. Means kind of made a little less sense with all the upcoming opening room in the wide receiver room. Ryan Johnson made a whole lot of sense. And I guess staying on the offensive line, today's news makes sense as well because this coming out just a few minutes ago, offensive lineman Marcus Tatum has put his name in the NCAA transfer portal. Tatum seems like he's been around forever. Seems like in that time you've seen him put on about 70 pounds because he desperately needed to. He got thrown out there in 2017 just because out of necessity more than want. And he was like 265 pounds starting at right tackle. He slowly put on some mass. He's at 6'6", 316 right now. Redshirt junior. And he is assigned to try to explore his options. Instant reaction to that. Is that going to be a loss for depth coming up? Because, I mean, it's almost like he kind of sees the writing on the wall when it comes to his playing time.
Yeah.
And your younger guys are only going to get better.
I mean, they came in here and basically started right away. So, it's kind of, like you said, the writing on the wall. I'm not surprised by either one of them. I am kind of surprised by the Means transfer. But as far as Ryan Johnson and Tatum, I'm not surprised at all. But the parting letter that Ryan Johnson issued was, I would expect that from him. He's a great guy. I mean, you don't want anything. I don't think anything bitter is going to come from that at all. Just wanting to go somewhere to get some playing time, and I don't blame him.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all.
Yeah, if you know your, you know, playing time is going to be none or next to none, you know, you want to go somewhere where you can be successful if you have the opportunity to, and I don't really blame them, really. I don't blame any of them, but as far as Means goes, I feel like he could have been in a position to play more next year because we're losing our top senior receivers, but, yeah, best of luck to all three of them. I'm not one to really hold a grudge, even if you were – I mean, unless, like – something crazy is a reason, but
yeah, I'm hardly gonna be the person to be in that type of mindset as well. I mean, with Marcus Tatum there, yeah, you hate to lose bodies, but you also kind of understand that this guy wasn't going to be a starter next season. He was only going to be reserve coming in when you really needed him to. I'm not that worried about the offensive line depth moving forward that much. But that is another one gone that's been in the program since 2016, actually. Both him and Ryan Johnson been in the program for a minute now. They're going to pursue the rest of their career elsewhere, though. So that's an update on Vols in the transfer portal. And that does it for hour one of overtime. 865-546-8200. 546-8200 to get on the program. Hour two. Got college football playoff rankings coming up. We got college basketball to talk about. That's all coming up next. Stick with us. Yeah.